one point in time when in my prior life, before I retired, I represented a fellow who used to work for the city. And he did bad things. He put inappropriate images on the city's computer system.
Oh, the city's computer system, I don't know about that.
He did not have a home computer, and these inappropriate images were on the computer system for the city of Newport, because he worked at the airport. And he was apprehended, arrested, put in jail. And that was my first opportunity to actually work side by side with Pastor Taylor. He was such a.
If you're ready, it'll be just a moment. I'm gonna run around, hit start, and then come give you a thumbs up.
Why don't you give us a signal when we're ready?
That's what I'll do.
Thank you. And Pastor, he was so compassionate, helped empty the fellow's house out, took care of his cards, and there was no discussion of why we came together. It was just helping this parishioner. And then when the guy got into prison, helped him get back on his feet again. And I was always impressed with him.
One of my best friends. He's a wonderful man.
Thumbs up.
Is that Don?
Very rare.
Ready?
Yeah, Don Taylor.
Yeah, I like him, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Good morning. Today's date is March 3, 2023. The time is 11:09 a.m. And this is the time set for a special meeting of the City of Newport's Retirement Board of Trustees. We have a very short agenda. Typically, we meet quarterly. And the primary purpose of meeting today was to interview our applicant, Mr. Robert Westerman, who has applied for the vacant citizen position on the Board of Trustees. And then maybe we'll have a brief discussion about a proposed letter to City Council about the 2022 shortfall on the defined benefit account. And just before we start, so the record's clear, maybe we can go around the table and each of us could say who is here so that if this is ever looked at later on. I'm Braulio Escobar. I'm a citizen member of the board.
Mark Salem, citizen member of the board.
Oh, Joselle Kaysen, finance.
Steve Baher, finance director.
Steve Stewart, water treatment plant supervisor.
Dave Heater, citizen member, I guess.
Robert Westerman,
applicant.
Very good. So we all know who.
Hey, we're going to separate you. I'm going to come step between you two and embed it there.
I'm Dave Margo. I'm liaison from the county.
So we had this opening. Mr. Baker resigned, or his term ended, and we have a questionnaire that the city likes us to kind of follow through on. And why don't we kind of go around the table? I'll ask one question. Mr. Salins can ask a question. Steve can ask a question. Dave can ask a question. And Councilor Goble can ask a question.
You want me to ask a question? Is there enough questions?
He's answered all these questions. Do we want to just discuss the answers he has already, or do we want to ask him to them again? Or
it's good to ask a question.
Ask again?
Well, yeah, okay. Let me have it on the record here. Okay, we'll start off. Question number one, and then you'll two, three, four. Okay. Good morning. We're not usually this. We don't mean to put you on the spot, but good morning.
Good morning.
And could you tell us why you would like to serve on the City of Newport's Retirement Trust Committee?
My wife was contacted about being on this position, and then she directed me to make application. So
if
your
mom
wife
is not,
told you, huh?
My wife told me.
Okay.
Like I've been married long enough to call that a good reason.
That's a good answer.
And I didn't have a problem with it. I've got some experience with pensions. I don't know how much of that experience is transferable to public pension with the city. But it's also important for me to give back to the community in some fashion. And I felt this may be in my wheelhouse, or at least have some experience and knowledge.
Okay, well, I guess I eventually get to that part. Question number eight, which is pertinent information in your background relative to the committee. Number two is only to describe your educational background.
So I was a high school dropout. I joined the U.S. Navy at the age of 17, I secured my high school diploma while I was in the Navy. When I served from 1983 to 1988 and out of Long Beach, California, my wife's family had moved to Newport. Terry Vaughn is my father-in-law, and he was working at Central Lincoln PUD. We moved to the coast to be close to her family. I'm originally from the Coos Bay area, but Newport has been a wonderful community for us. When I got out of service, I worked at the Port of Newport for a while as a security at the marina, and then was able to finally get into an electrical apprenticeship program. And I served that electrical apprenticeship here in Lincoln County, working on a lot of the larger new construction facilities for us, the Lincoln County Jail, down at the EPA labs on down there in South Beach, and quite a bit of work at Georgia Pacific Toledo. After I turned out as a journey level worker, I was asked to run for office from my local union, and have been serving in some capacity with the IBEW since 1994. Ran for business manager of the local union in 1999. Had been part of the responsibilities with my local union is also sitting on our defined contribution pension trust plan. Part of the Cascade Pension Trust that currently has, well, it's probably less now, but currently we have about $350 million of investments that cover the union electricians from Southern Oregon, basically the Valley, Southern Oregon, and the coast. I sit as the secretary of that pension trust, and being a part of that trust has afforded me the opportunity to secure further education through the International Foundation of Employee Benefit Programs that does a good job in teaching people their responsibilities as trustees, exercising oversight over pension plans. And I will stop there because I could go. I have a tendency to ramble on, so at any point, just tell me to.
That was a good answer. Thank you.
Good answer.
Steve, number three is, have you ever served on a community committee? If so, what type?
I have served as the chair of the Prevailing Wage Advisory Committee to Commissioner Brad Avakian in the past. I serve on a number of task forces for ongoing legislation. I currently am the vice chair for the Southern Oregon Workforce Investment Board, which covers Coos, Curry, and Douglas counties. I'm the president of the Oregon State Association of Electrical Workers, representing the seven IBEW local unions that have jurisdiction in the state of Oregon. I spend most of my time on committees and in discussions like this as well.
Okay.
Do you agree with consensus decision making?
Yes. Now, I am, consensus is difficult. As president of the Oregon State Association of Electrical Workers, with seven different business managers, with seven different interests, we operate under consensus there. Consensus takes a lot more discussion, it takes compromise, but I do prefer consensus over majority vote.
Thank you.
I just wanted to highlight, it stood out to me where you said, I find that it requires more commitment to the process than a simple majority vote. I think all of us can agree sitting here that if all you have to do is allow your emotional or gut reaction to decide your vote for you, and you just have to say yes or no, and it's no big deal either way you go, that's a lot easier than sitting around the table and, you know, discussing it to the point where everyone's in agreement regardless of whether your opinion prevails. So I never heard somebody say it quite that way. It requires more commitment to get to the, you know, the final answer you're going to get.
As committee members, we meet at least once a quarter, and we sometimes have special meetings like this. And the question is, are you willing and able to commit to attending these regular scheduled meetings as well as special meetings as they come up?
Yes. I am, though, with the caveat that I am spread thin, have a lot of other meetings, and we need to prioritize my career meetings, but yeah, make every attempt to attend, and I wouldn't, I don't know, you guys probably understand this being on a committee. Pensions are not fun. And with the stock market as it has been, this isn't something that I'm willing to do. It's not something that I'm overly eager to do, but having applied, I will commit to attending the meetings and as much as possible.
They're fun during the upcycle, you know, when you're earning 28%.
The city even puts out cookies then.
Cookies today, huh? I was going to mention a K replacement. We need cookies at the beginning.
This was a sudden, K was like, you can do it. Just show up and take notes.
Hi, Bob. I've got the next one here. It's a difficult one for me sometimes, yeah. Would you make decisions based on facts and standards, even though you may not agree with the ultimate decision?
Yes. I think you have to. I think you've got to take motion out of it. You've got to check your biases at the door. One of the things that has come difficult to me, but that I truly try to live by, is what we call a two-hat dilemma. When I'm engaging at the Cascade Pension Trust, I need to take off my union representative hat off and then only concentrate on just the pension part itself. So we call that a two-hat dilemma. And you need to check those biases at the door when you're engaging in a committee like this. I think I answered that, and I don't know, and that's a question I have for this body, is that I would, when it comes to pensions, I would always make my decisions with an eye on the fiduciary responsibilities. And fiduciary for me means that you always make your decisions based upon the participants and the people that have their money entrusted in their pension plans and not for your own self-interests. That's basically what I mean by fiduciary. I'm sure there's a broader legal term for that, but it means acting in the best interest of the participants.
I think that's a pretty good definition.
Do you anticipate having any conflicts of interest due to your personal or business relationships that might disqualify you from participating in decisions that this board may have to make?
That's a good question. I don't know. I am married to Lisa Westerman, who is the branch manager for Umpqua. I understand that Columbia and Umpqua have just merged, and I believe that Columbia may be a provider to this committee. So I don't know if that causes a conflict. I know that in my mind, it doesn't. I'm not here to represent Lisa or to represent Columbia. I'm here as a citizen to represent the best interests of the participants and their pension plans.
Okay, well, this is kind of a repeat of my first question, or in the way you answered my first question, but if you've thought of anything else in terms of pertinent information or background, that may qualify you for participation in the committee, you can share that as well. Chance to ramble a little more.
No, but I think, what I would like to know is I'd like to see the plan documents and how your pension plan is structured. I understand that you have a defined benefit that has been replaced by a defined contribution.
Right.
And I'd just like to see it.
Well, and in addition, at times, now it hasn't been such an issue recently. I know back when I was a city councilor and we were sort of on the starting to rebuild the retirement plan, we also had within our ranks PERS members through the police department. Mm-hmm. So that always made kind of an interesting contrast. You know, they still have PERS people. I know. They are separate. But if you put all those city employees in one basket, this has been a really interesting, you know, situation to try to keep everybody happy with basically three different retirement programs.
This board traditionally hasn't ever had any discussion about the police department on
right.
the PERS.
That's yeah, it was at the council entity. Level. You know, it's sort of like
I think what would probably happen, and
Probably all could get it wrong. I think if you're on the committee at the next meeting, I think when we have our advisors here, they would be able to give you that information.
Yeah.
I don't have that on my fingertips, so I don't know if you guys do.
I'd let the people do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Every meeting, we get a packet, and the packet will show the values of both the defined benefit and the defined contributions, what the allocations are, and it's pretty expensive. And then the financial advisor comes in and explains what's happened over the last quarter, and we can ask that person questions. So we don't, I don't have a book right now. We just get packets, and you can save them in your own binder at home.
Of course, once that meeting
just
happens.
Just to clarify, there are two different plans. It depends on when the employee was hired. So they're either in the benefit plan or they're in the defined contribution plan, 2012. So if they're before 2012, they're defined benefit. After, it's defined contribution. So.
Gotcha. And the defined contribution, is that directed by the city, or is it self-directed by the participant?
It's directed by the city. Actually, there's another component too, which is directed by the employees. The employee can contribute, well, they can contribute as much as they want, but the first 3% that they contribute of their own money, the city will match that 3%. So the city does 6% of their gross pay in the defined contribution, and then if the employee chooses to, if they put in 3%, the city will do an additional 3%.
How many people do we still have out in the city that is under benefit program?
There's not too many people left that are actively employed, but we have a lot of retired people in that plan still. So.
And you know, because the defined benefit program were for folks who were hired prior to 2012, right now those folks who are retiring are from the defined benefit plan. And that's why, in my personal view, it's important that we keep that account solvent.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why we keep the funding at the level that we do in order to provide for that. So.
Well, you know, another good reason for keeping it solvent, just all of a sudden jumped in my mind, what would happen if you basically
had a mass exodus?
Well, no, you ran through all of your obligations under that program until people and their beneficiaries passed away, yet there was still a relatively large balance left.
See, that comes to me then, yeah.
Yeah, see, then it's like it probably gets rolled back into the city.
You'll have a vote on that, won't
you?
Do we have any more questions for our applicant?
The committee.
Pardon?
Do you have any more questions for our applicant?
I want to get on a rabbit trail here.
Do you want to share anything with the committee?
No, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for
I think
so
it would
I
be...
have one more question.
Yeah.
I see you're not enthusiastic about being on the committee, which I understand because I don't think any of us think it's a highlight of our life. But if we choose you, are you going to be willing to serve?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
no,
great.
I'm going to apply it if not.
Awesome. That's what
I think it would be appropriate to have a motion to recommend to the city council whether to accept or reject the application of Robert Westerman to be a member of this board.
You make a recommendation, or are you asking for one?
Well, I'm asking for
a
motion.
You want to step out first? Oh, we have discussion?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can step out if you'd like. There's some nice, comfortable chairs out there.
Right. Do you want me to stay?
Yeah, it'll be just a second. So yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I recommend that we recommend him to the city council. He seems to be very qualified, so.
Dietmar?
I think he's a good prospect, yeah. No.
I like the fact that he's had a lot of work experiences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's shoveled dirt, now he's pushing paper.
He's been on retirement board.
He understands pensions a little
yeah,
bit.
So.
Managing a lot more money than we're managing.
He asked good questions, so I think it's good.
Mark?
Yeah, I think so. And in terms of a potential conflict, I mean, you know, you live in a small town, if you dig deep enough, somebody's going to be connected somewhere. They're two different banks, whether they merge or not.
I don't think Lisa could do anything to damage any decisions that we make here.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to point out that
yeah,
part's not for
I don't see a conflict there.
Well, we don't deal directly with this Columbia Bank.
Right.
it says Columbia Bank, and it's kind of like the umbrella.
Yeah.
And so the banking is a little different than the investment councils.
Yeah, absolutely.
It used to be illegal.
Banks used to, you had to be an investment banker.
Columbia Investment is a branch of that, but they're going to keep the name, but Columbia Bank is gone.
This Columbia has been purchased.
Yeah, I know it's gone, yeah.
By
Security.
Even the name is gone, I mean, it's not Columbia Bank, right?
And so, but I think everybody but Julie, and maybe Julie's decided to, I haven't seen her.
Julie, she's going to Umpqua.
Okay, because I know there was a decision whether she was going to stay with, I think Lincoln offered her a job to stay, but she just got promoted, you know, to district manager or whatever, so.
She's unhappy.
Anyway, let's bring him back in, and do we want to take a vote real quick?
Well, sir, you got any comments?
No, I think it's a good candidate, so.
You want to make a motion?
Sure. I move that we accept the application, appoint, recommend to the city council for appointment, Robert Westerman, who we just interviewed.
A second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so our minutes will reflect that we're recommending to the city council that they appoint Mr. Westerman to serve on this board so that we're at full strength. You can convey that to your folks, okay?
Yeah, well, we should let him go when his term is.
I don't know if we'll take it up at the next meeting. That would be not that Monday.
There's going to be enough time to get it on the agenda for Monday. I mean, this is Friday already.
Hey, Dave.
Usually, but it's not.
I'm not sure what we are on.
Well, our next meeting is until the end.
It's like my 10th year, so I'm not really sure what kind of terms I've served.
You can talk to Spencer and see if he can get it on.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
We were just sitting here trying to figure out what your term was, whether it was 2 years or 4 years or whatever, but then decided it was meaningless anyway because Dave's been here 10 years.
Yeah.
Probably how long.
You know what the terms are?
I was here, I think this is my 6th year because when I first came on board, you were already here.
Mm-hmm. I've been here 10 years, I think, now.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so our process is we make a recommendation to the city council. You presented very well. All of us thought you had a lot of experience. You can bring your knowledge to this board. Our next meeting is April
27th. It's the last Thursday of the month.
Last Thursday of each.
I believe it's 27th.
Yeah. Last Thursday of the month at 10 o'clock right here in this room. Our recommendation will go to the city council. We anticipate the city council will, in fact, appoint you, and somebody here among us will reach out to you to remind you of the meetings. You'll be on the mailing list, and you can come and join, and please participate. When I first came here, I did not understand what was going on. Defined benefit, defined contribution, reserve fund, thought it was just all over my head. Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yep.
After a few meetings, all of that stuff will kind of come together in your brain. You'll feel really comfortable with it.
I think your previous knowledge is going to make it easy for you to.
Yeah.
I think his background will make it easier for
way
you.
Back, we did
most
spend
of the time.
Pardon?
Way
back, we did spend quite a few meetings trying to understand
consensus
the different programs.
It'll be good. Thank you. We appreciate it.
To it.
You're free to go or free to stay.
Okay.
Up to you.
Well, I will excuse myself because I do need to get back to work, and I look forward to meeting and talking with all of you in the future.
Okay.
So.
Great.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
The other agenda item, if you recall, there was that article in the News Times. My concern with the article, I didn't want the employees to be left with the impression that, you know, the sky is falling and the retirement commitments wouldn't be honored. So Mr. Glover brought those concerns to Mr. Noble. Mr. Noble saw me in the hall, asked to talk to me for a brief minute, and he suggested that our committee write a letter to the council. And I did, so I drafted a rough draft to circulate, and I would welcome any editing, and I think we need to make a decision. Do we send the letter, number one? If we do send the letter, is this draft appropriate, or do we need to make any edits? Mr. Noble expressed that he needed to have the council before mid-March. So we're kind of bumping up against that particular deadline. I'd ask Commissioner Goble, Commissioner Goble.
Counselor.
Counselor?
Commissioners are in the county.
Planning Commission.
Oh, Planning Commission. You're a commissioner.
Oh, stop that. Anyway, you're on the Budget Committee.
Right.
And has this committee's suggestion that we fund the defined benefit plan at roughly $420,000, has that been discussed at all?
We had our first preliminary meeting.
It's an agenda on the March 6th meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, on the, oh, so it's coming up next week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's on the council agenda, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so it'll come on up then.
Yeah, so while we, well, I would assume that we're gonna approve it.
Mm-hmm, I would hope.
Yeah. If we don't, then the retirees are in trouble, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, that loss in revenue, the loss in value of the funds have a direct effect on the general fund.
Well, we can't kick,
because
kick the problem down the road.
No, we can't, because we have to make a bigger contribution to it to keep it solvent.
Dietmar, I'm curious about your logic here. So if the fund does really well, like we had for years, built back up from whatever it was down in the 70s to 97% funded, that also impacts the city budget.
Does, positively, yeah.
And that's just the nature of investment.
No, I understand that.
You know, so, and that's what bothered me personally about, there was nothing per se wrong with the article in the paper, other than I viewed it as an incomplete article. I mean, yes, maybe it slanted a bit towards the city being irresponsible, whatever, but there was no mention of what, you know, what the average investor suffered during that same time period or whatever. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just like, you know, you can't measure whether somebody did better or worse unless you set a bar that you're measuring against. And there was no bar in that article.
Anybody
just that we'd gone down.
Well, and it may sound like an anomaly when, in fact, every pension fund in the country had lost money during the previous two
right.
years.
You know, and I know when I first started having enough money to have investments that were big enough to really rock and roll with the changes, it was my wife who had to calm me down and say, you know, look at the long history of this investment and then notice how often it's like, you know, shifted 10, 12, 25, $45,000. And yet, you know, it cycles like this. I mean, I mentioned at the start of this meeting, I'm amazed that we're already up in January. You know, mine was, my account was up 1.9% for January. I thought this downward trend might continue, but to bring it to kind of a summary is, I like what was written here, just mm-hmm. as it is, but I didn't know if we had a piece that could go in here after the loss of 14.66%
mm-hmm.
or someplace in this paragraph where we
you
could somehow-
copy the letter here?
Do you have a copy there? It's in your packet?
Yeah. Mine got stuck to the agenda, so you
oh,
might
to the Newport City Council, I see it.
If
okay.
there's some place in here where we could insert something about, you know, lots of people did far worse.
I was, you know, you write this stuff and then you keep reading.
Because, you know, again,
yeah.
we don't,
mm-hmm.
okay, so the city's down 14.66%. Okay, well, that's bad.
I don't know if we should say others did far worse. I think we should say it's consistent with other investors.
There you go.
Yeah, I've got Berkshire Hathaway lost 22.8
billion. Oh, is that
billion.
In there? Maybe I didn't
Well, no,
that.
this is something
yeah.
I just read a day or two.
Yeah.
Fidelity says their 401k investors lost an average of 23% last year.
See, something like that.
So it's not an anomaly
right.
that our defined
right, not at all.
Benefit plan
thought
took a
there.
Hit. Okay,
yeah.
I can add that sentence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I thought
I'll
it was
make a generic
no.
Consistent. You know, I'll find some language that'll tell the council other plans have lost money and we're not
right.
out there all by ourselves.
The other thing I wanted to share with the committee is, as a committee, we basically have, I guess, the ability to send some kind of report to the city council pretty much anytime we want to,
mm-hmm.
right? We're supposed to feed them information. And as a longtime government employee, and I've worked at federal, state, county, city level, I get so tired of how negative news always captures the attention of everybody. And if you would not believe when I was at Fish and Wildlife how many times I tried to capture the interest of when good things were going on in the commercial fishing industry, no interest, you know, in publishing an article or interviewing. But oh my God, you know, if you're overfishing or something like that, it's front page news, you know. And so to some degree, you know, I think by sending a report to the city council, then they get it. And as I was saying in my email to you, it then at least becomes kind of a public document.
And hopefully it's a subtle message to the reporter to perhaps include it in the next reporting.
Right, yeah.
So it's not a direct confrontation with the reporter. It's here's some other information, do with it what you please.
And write it, make sure it's right.
Yeah. Steve, do you remember, I had a blank here, that, you know, over the years, the percentage of the funding has kind of, well, for several years, it was down, then it was slowly up, and then hitting, at one point, it was up to 97 or 98%. Yep. Do you have those numbers?
Yeah, that was just like 2 years ago.
97% last year, so.
Right.
So in 2022.
21.
21, it was at 97%?
Yep.
Yeah, and is that what now?
It's at 79% right now. So.
And I think when we started 7 years ago, it was below that.
Yeah, it was like in the 50s, I think.
Right.
We're down at 79, you said?
Yeah, down 79%.
So do you have any numbers there? And I'll add a couple of extra years there, Steve.
Yes, well, yeah. I'm trying to see which. Yeah, so the... You want just the total of the planned assets, you mean, or?
Let's say, where were we at 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah, I don't have the 5 years, though.
What years do you have?
Just the 21, 22 is in front of me right now.
So in 21, we were at 97%?
Mm-hmm.
And what are we now?
As of June 30th, 2022, we were at 79%.
79%?
Mm-hmm. Funded?
Funded, yep.
For the benefit program?
Mm-hmm.
And can you recall historically how low it had been?
In the 50s somewhere.
Yeah,
David, can you remember?
I think it was low 50s at one point.
It was pretty low when I came on. I don't think it was the 50s, but it was definitely in the low, probably low to mid 60s.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
And then we... At one point, we're basically 100% funded for a short time. We were 99 officially, but basically 100% funded. But, you know, pension funds do that.
Right.
You're not going to stay 100% funded forever. I mean, you're going to have ebbs and flows. And the whole thing about pension programs is it's like our own long-term investments. You just don't take your money out and put it in the safety deposit box because the stock market's going down because... That's not how it works. Right.
So I'll add a phrase that, you know, historically the account at one point was funded at the low 60%. By 2021, it was funded at a 97%, and we're now down to 79%. We need to continue funding the account. I'll add that sentence
with
on
the,
in there.
With the 420,000 contribution, what is that? How much has that changed the funding?
Well, that's to keep it on course.
That keeps it at 79%?
No,
that'll move us toward that 99%.
Right, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't know what that contribution
is. You'd have to predict the market to know.
Yeah, it's hard to know. If we funded at 20 or 25%, we're going to drop every year. Even on good years, we're going to drop. Unless it's a really good year. So that's why we're staying at the 10%. It just gives us constant, as long as the city can afford it, I think we should continue to do it. And right now the city can afford it, I think.
Well, the only reason we can afford it is because we have 22 missing employees.
Because of what?
22 missing employees.
Oh.
And you think
I mean, about we're, the general fund is fairly healthy right now, but that's because we aren't paying employees.
We're at about a little over 20% vacancy rate right
Anything
now.
Anything I might like to do?
What departments are suffering?
Anything I
might
like to do from the hours of like 5 to 10 at night?
Pretty much all departments.
So So.
I would change the last sentence here to probably, oh, the board hopes that council will act favorably in our recommendation. I would probably just say the board recommends that the council act favorably on a recommendation.
Board.
Just rather than hope, I don't know, make it a recommendation.
Say that again, Dietmar.
I say that the board recommends that council act favorably.
Yeah, that's a good point. Otherwise, I think it's fine.
Give me those two changes.
Okay, so I'll change the take out hopes, make it recommends. I'll add in a little sentence about the historical thing and another sentence or clause about other accounts have also lost money during 2022. I'll get that done today and circulate it on out to our committee.
Well, you just said, Dietmar, about part of the reason being that the fund's in great shape is because so many missing employees. So, you know, one spin doctor way would be to say then there's nothing better than to take money that's slated to be salary and put it into something that's still for the employees, the retirement program, as opposed to taking that same 100,000 and building a new sidewalk or whatever.
I think the council's always been favorable to the retirees and.
Oh, yeah.
They have, in the 10 years I've been here, we haven't had one rejected yet, so.
Stephen, is your department fully staffed?
No.
Yes.
No.
Two Stevens, excuse me.
No, mine isn't.
If he's not funded fully staffed, the results are more immediate.
My comment, this is.
I'm not fully staffed either, by the way, nobody asked me, but.
This has been a productive meeting and we've been able to kind of bounce ideas around rather than following simply the agenda of where's the money today.
Right.
And so I'd like to thank everybody for coming. There's nobody from the public here. Any other comments before we adjourn? All right, we're done. Thank you, folks.
Capitan, thank you, Capitan.
Welcome to.
What's your name again?
Joselle.
I know you're gonna steal my.
No, we're still, we're just not.
So what's on your plan for the rest of today?
Well, we're still working. It's basically our contract.
Bye, Dave.
Okay, good weekend.
Code is just our applicant's code.
That's mine.
Okay, good.
When I was working, I would have had that. When I came along, a lot of the business, when it was so strong, people would come to work at like 6 a.m., right?
Yeah.
Now the dogs, dinner there, so they came up with this long habit of getting off at 2 or 3 p.m.
Yeah.
So that invariably is why I moved my way up the ranks into being a project leader and a program leader. That would leave me stuck on Friday afternoon.
It's tricky, though.
And that would be the day I wanted to catch up on stuff.